This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. It seems like every day we're confronted with mixed messages about our identity, our purpose, and our values. It's easy to get confused. Today we continue Pastor Rick's new series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. In this series, Rick shares biblical truths and practical advice that will help you and your family grow in your faith, make important decisions, and find significance in the God who created you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of a book written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. It's called Choose Joy, and it's perfect for the trying times we live in. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Being a Disciple in the Digital Age.
Whatever you look at all the time, you're eventually going to copy. That's why the Bible says this in Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Okay, he says, don't copy the world's value system. What are the world's value system? Look up here on the screen. 1 John 2, 15 to 17 says this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, hang on here just a minute. Let me stop. The guy who wrote this, John, in 1 John 2, 16, he says, if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He's the same guy who wrote John 3, 16 in another book, which says, God so loved the world. Okay, which is it? I mean, come on. In John 3, 16, John says, God so loved the world. And in 1 John 2, 16, he says, don't love the world. Well, what am I supposed to do? Looks like a contradiction. The answer is in the definition of the word world. In John 3, 16, where it says, God so loved the world, he's talking about the people of the world. We are to love the people of the world because they were created in the image of God. They have dignity. We are to love every person. In 1 John 2, 15 to 17, he's saying, don't love the value system of the world. So the Bible says we are to love the people in the world, but we are to hate the world's value system because it's anti-God. Love the people, hate the value system. The problem is we do the exact opposite. We hate the people. And we love the value system. We are as materialistic as everybody else. We're as interested in sex and pleasure and living for fun and living, making that the highest goal of life. We're as interested in status and salary and sex and popularity and possessions and power as everybody else is. We get it backwards. Now look at that verse again. Don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For what the world values, and the world has three big values: the lust for constant pleasure, that's called hedonism, the greed for more things, that's called materialism, and the prideful positioning to appear important, that's called secularism or humanism. It says, I am God, I'll be my own God, I don't need God, I'm more important. He says, of these three things, none of these things come from your Father. The world and what it values is going to pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. So you got to choose. Am I going to go with God's value system or am I going to go with the world's value system of, the temptation to have more, the temptation to feel more, the temptation to be more, all of these kind of things that happen. He says, if you're hearing people shout at you all the time, that you got to be popular and you got to be beautiful and you got to be successful and you got to be rich for you to have any value, that's a lie. It's a lie. It's the world's value system that only the wealthiest matter, only the most beautiful matter, only those who are having the most fun matter. That means you don't matter because you're not in any of those categories. But that's what the world is constantly teaching. You got to be thin and beautiful and sexy and rich. Otherwise, your life sucks. That's the world's value system. They are wrong, but you're hearing it all the time and you're carrying it with you in your pocket and you're reading it on social media and things like that. If I see it enough, I start thinking, well, it must be okay. And what this does is this desensitizes me to sin. It desensitizes me to sin. All of a sudden I think, well, if everybody's doing it, it must be okay. It must be all right. James 4, verse 4 in the Bible says this, don't you know that to be a friend of the world is to be hostile to God? If your aim is to be popular with the world, you make yourself God's enemy. I didn't say that. God does. He says, you got to choose. Do you want to be a people pleaser or do you want to be a God pleaser? I highly recommend that you decide from this day forward, you're not going to be a people pleaser anymore. You're going to be a God pleaser. Because if you're a God pleaser, it will always be the right thing to do. And actually, there will be some good people who like that. But if you be a people pleaser, you're going to be stressed out and insecure your entire life, trying to please the world and its value system. It just doesn't work. All right, let me give you a third hazard. I can be drawn into unproductive arguments. Oh, baby. This is very, very easy, particularly in social media. Have you ever heard somebody say something really outrageous and you got offended really quickly by it and you thought, well, I need to tell them off. I need to set them straight. I need to respond. And you want, every bone in your body wants to just obliterate them because what they just said. Like you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, you've read stuff online and you go, that is so wrong, that's just not right. And they attack somebody I like or love or whatever. And it's an easy way to get drawn into an argument. I understand how you feel, but don't. Don't respond when those arguments start up on the internet. Here's what the Bible says, Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Never, that means never, never get involved in foolish controversies, useless arguments, disputes about your personal pedigree. That means, issues about your family history, your ethnic background, your genealogy, that kind of stuff. Don't get in an argument over that. Or fights over interpreting God's law. How you interpret a particular, all of these, God says, are useless and do not help anyone. So it's pretty clearly, don't get involved in fights and arguments. That would apply to the internet too, not just at the office. The fact is there are people who live to hook you. There are trolls out there who love, their adrenaline goes up when they hook somebody for a fight. They don't even care with what you believe. They just like to fight. And they like to argue. And you think, well, I'll set them straight. But they're using motivated reasoning, which means no matter what you say, it's not going to work. And finally, you're going to, after about, I don't know how many times you respond to them back and forth, you're finding this is real, it's worthless. It's not going anywhere. They're not going to change. You're not going to change them. They just like to fight. And if they throw something out that's very, threatening or provocative, and they throw that out, and then you respond to it, they go, ha, I hooked a live one. I'm going to reel them in now. And now they've got somebody to fight with because they don't really feel alive unless they're mad. It's a problem. It's a mental problem. They don't feel alive unless they're mad. And they're going to just roll and hook you in. Now here, let me show you some verses about this on the screen. Proverbs 26, 21. Just as charcoal and wood keep a fire going, a troublemaker keeps an argument going. They're not going to let you off the hook. They're going to keep on arguing until you give up. They're not going to give up. So he says, don't do that. What does God say to do with those kind of people? Here's what he says on the screen. Proverbs 26, 4. Don't answer their foolish arguments, or you will become as foolish as they are. You're going to look as dumb as they do. Just don't get hooked. Now, I highly recommend that instead of worrying about what other people think, whether they think it about you, what they think about you is none of your business. What people think about me is none of my business. It doesn't have any degree of influence on my happiness. Don't be worrying about what other people think. Instead, here's what you should be worrying about. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, "You can be sure that on the judgment day, you will have to give an account to God of every careless word you have ever spoken." Uh-oh. That includes one written in social media and on the internet. One day you're going to give an account of every foolish, useless, mean, and what other words that you use on the internet or anywhere else. You're going to give an account to God. Now that ought to be enough to muzzle my mouth and zip my lip. But not only that, now you know this, whatever you say on the internet is permanent, global, and searchable. It's never going away, which is why you need to teach your kids, don't do that. Don't say stuff on the internet thinking it's no big deal, because when you're in the 9th grade or 10th grade, you think, well, I can say that and I'm just mad at so-and-so, and then 50 years later, they're going to pull it out in your Senate hearing. It will come back. And so any employee can look up anything you've ever said on the internet. So it's not only going to be, not only is God keeping a record, so is the internet. And it's permanent, it's global, and searchable. So zip the lip. What causes us to get hooked into those kind of arguments? Well, in a word, it's ego. It's ego. When Kay and I got married many moons ago, the first verse, Bible verse we memorized together, we memorized a lot of scripture together. I would highly recommend you do that with your spouse. Well, the first verse we memorized it on our honeymoon because we needed it on our honeymoon. We were having conflict on our honeymoon. And Proverbs 13:10 says this, pride always causes conflict. Pride always causes conflict. Anywhere you find conflict, it's because ego's involved. I want what I want, you want what you want, neither of us want to back down. When my pride hits your pride, that's what's causing the conflict. Now, a good dose of humility is what you really need to do before you go online, you pick up that phone. All right, number four, let me give you another one. Another hazard of a smartphone is I can be tempted to compete and show off. I can be tempted to compete and show off. Now, we always want to put ourselves in the best light. We want everybody to think our lives are perfect. We want everybody to think we've got it all together. And what happened is this new entity called social media is a place to show off. That's what it is. And when I go on social media, I always want to put my best foot forward. You never post a picture of yourself when you just got out of bed, okay? And there's drool coming down your cheek here, and you can smell the body odor on you, and you know there's laundry over in the corner. No. It's my so-called perfect life. And Instagram reported that over half of the pictures posted on Instagram are photoshopped. They're correct. They're not reality. They are. I want everybody to look good. And so I want everybody to see how cool I am. I want everybody to see how smart I am. I want everybody to see how rich I am. I want to see how everybody, how happy, how fun I am, how perfect my marriage is, how brilliant my children are. And people are actually showing off through their kids and grandkids. Boy, it got quiet. And look how loved we are. Look how loved I am. That's just showing off. And because of that, the worst kind of showing off, you know what it is? God hates this more than any other kind. Spiritual showing off. When you're trying to appear spiritual in front of others, it's called self-righteousness. It's the sin that Jesus hated in the Pharisees. He said this about the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Everything they do is for show. They pray for show. They sing for show. They give their offerings to show off. He said everything they do is for public consumption. And God hated that. He said they're hypocrites. And so what happens today is people are using social media to show off their spirituality. Stop it. I mean, if you go and let's just say I go and I say, I'm gonna take a picture of me having a quiet time. And I'm gonna spend time alone with God. And here I am, trying to focus on God. And look at the scripture I'm covering. I'm in Habakkuk. I bet you've never read Habakkuk, okay? And I've underlined this verse, and I remember, and I got my little latte here, and it's a beautiful sunset, and my Bible, and I'm looking so spiritual. Click. You can't do that, okay? That's just showing off, all right? I want you to write something down. Would you write this sentence down? I can't be in the moment trying to capture the moment. I can't be in the moment while I'm trying to capture a moment. Please, as your pastor, I'm begging you to never take another shot of your quiet time. That's just showing off, and Jesus hates it. You ought to have a quiet time with God every day, but it ought to be between you and God. You will never see a quiet time of me anywhere. Why? Because if I'm focusing, if all of a sudden my quiet time, I'm taking a picture of it, I'm staging it for production. It's not real. It's not authentic. I'm not focusing on God. I'm focusing on, I wonder if everybody's going to like this on Instagram. And all of a sudden, I've taken the wrong motivation for this. I can't be in the moment while trying to capture a moment. I want to show you a picture up here. Tell me which of these people is really enjoying the moment. It's all these pictures of everybody's got their phone out trying to take a shot. And then there's this little old lady here with no camera, just smiling, enjoying. She's the one who's enjoying the moment. Everybody else is trying to capture the moment. And so she's the one who's fully there. This is one of my problems today, is that now wedding photographers have taken over the weddings. And the whole thing's so staged, it's all about now, please stand here, please do this, please stand here. I understand the need for nice pictures. But we can't even have a moment because it's all about the picture. And who's actually enjoying the moment because it's all being staged for somebody and something else. I can't be in the moment while trying to capture a moment. Now, Jesus has a lot to say about this. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. Be careful. There's that word again. Don't be careless. Be careful. Be careful. Don't do your acts of righteousness publicly to be admired by others. If you do, you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. Wow. He said, if I take what I've just done, a good thing, and I post it on the internet, that's all the reward I'm getting. Because I just lost it. If I did it in secret, in my lifetime, I've probably prayed with almost every president in my lifetime. You will never, ever see a picture of me praying with somebody. Or at least somebody important, famous like that. Because what does that do? If I wanted to, I could post almost every day a picture of me and a celebrity. What does that do? Does that draw us closer? No. It's like, who do you think you are? Well, goody for you. When you show off, it builds barriers. It doesn't build fellowship. It doesn't draw you closer to anybody. It's like, well, how come your life's so perfect and mine's not? And you get to do exciting things and I don't. No. If you want to draw people close to you, do the opposite. Share the problems that Jesus is helping you with. And people go, oh. Well, if God's helping Rick with that problem, then maybe he could help me too. It's the exact opposite of what the world values and what's being posted on there right now.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, sometimes life throws us curves. there are little annoyances like traffic tickets and long lines at the market. Then there are deep hurts, like serious illnesses, financial worries, unresolved relational conflicts, or the loss of a loved one. The Bible says it's possible to experience deep and authentic joy no matter what's happening. If you've ever had trouble finding that kind of joy, then you're going to want the updated version of Kay Warren's best-selling book, Choose Joy. In Choose Joy, Kay shares the path to experiencing soul-satisfying joy no matter what you're going through. She helps you send your spiritual roots deep into the soil of God's love so that you can develop convictions and certainties about Him that will become the source of your strength when happiness isn't enough. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the book Choose Joy by Kay Warren as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, everybody, it's so encouraging to hear how God's working in the lives of Daily Hope listeners. And so I love getting these testimonies. And I want to share this one that just came to me from Wanda. Wanda describes herself as a Messianic Jew. That means she's come from a Jewish heritage, but she has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Now, here's what Wanda says. She said, "My life is filled with multiple challenges, both in parenting and with major family health issues. But Daily Hope has taught me where to go in the Bible to learn what God says and why God says what He says. Daily Hope has taught me how to have a relationship with Jesus, and it gives me my daily spiritual vitamin to go together with my Bible reading. It helps make God's Word understandable and meaningful." Now, did you notice in that note from Wanda, she says Daily Hope is just part of her daily quiet time? You need to open your Bible, not just listen to me. You need to get into God's Word every day. Even if you're just looking at one verse, it's a habit we all need to maintain. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down one verse a day and carry that with you throughout the day. You can write it on a little 3x5 card or whatever. And then watch as God shows you how relevant that particular verse is throughout your day. You'll be amazed.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.